think that that's true about the gospel too. Sometimes as Christians, we are so familiar with the stories that we cherish that we don't hear them anymore. And so here comes Matthew in Epiphany with this story about strange people, magi from the East disrupting things. It's a story that's supposed to sound strange to us, that's supposed to make us furrow our brow. It's supposed to be a thing that makes you go, These magi, they weren't so much kings. Sometimes we call them the three kings. They weren't. They're really mystics, wise men, prophets. And we have lots of ideas about them. But honestly, Matthew in this story did not tell us their names, didn't even mention how many of them there are. Maybe there were two, maybe there were 20. We say three because there were three gifts they brought to Jesus. But it's probably more accurate to view them as government envoys coming from a far-off superpower, greeting a new king that's been born in Israel. It's a diplomatic mission. Because these magi, these Gentile magi, are not ordinary Gentiles. These aren't the Roman soldiers that the people in Israel are used to patrolling the streets, or the Gentiles down at the local grocery store, or the Gentiles that hung around the temple because they were interested in God, in Judaism. Matthew describes the Magi as outsiders, exotic foreigners from far-off places. They're likely astrologers, a forbidden practice within Judaism. What do we know about these people who offer their gifts to Jesus? Well, it's widely thought that they were Persian mystics, that they most likely followed a Zoroastrian religion. Mystics who followed the Persian prophet Zoroaster. And Zoroastrians believe that Zoroaster was miraculously conceived in the womb of a 15-year-old virgin. Zoroastrians believe that Zoroaster started his ministry at the age of 30 after he defeated all of Satan's temptations. And so, like the Jews, the Zoroastrian priests were anticipating the birth of a true savior. He did predict that other virgins would conceive additional divine prophets as history unfolded, and these priests believed they could foretell these miraculous births by reading the stars. And of course, right about now is when a lot of well-meaning Christians get uncomfortable with Matthew. I mean, you're not suggesting their Zoroastrian religion was the same thing, or it's orthodox, or that Christianity comes from Zoroastrianism, are you? No. But I think Matthew is okay with us being uncomfortable with that question. I think Matthew, when he tells a story like this, wants to fidget, to not feel quite right about how settled we like our faith to be. He's pressing this issue. How much do you really believe the good news is for everybody? How about astrologers from a far-off land? His major point in the gospel is never in doubt. There was a deep and abiding expectation in Israel, right, that God would bring the nations to worship him. From the promise given to Abraham, the foundational promises that his descendants would bless the world, to Isaiah 60 and more, Matthew is showing us that God is true to his word, and the nations are coming to learn his ways around this young Jesus. But he's also showing us that nobody could have expected it would look like this. No one was expecting God to save his people through this child. And so Matthew is pointing out how different what we are getting is from what we were expecting. He's writing a strange story where the mystic astrologers from far away, forbidden profession, recognize and see clearly the wondrous thing God is doing. A story in which occult strangers offer gifts to honor God. And it's interesting because Matthew is turning everybody's world upside down with this story. It feels familiar. But it's important to see how upside down this story is. The far off are brought near. A child is honored, and a king is thwarted. The chief priests and the scribes, the experts in religion, they can't quite locate Jesus any more than, well, in Bethlehem, there was that prophecy in Micah. But these astrologers who are following a star you would think anybody could see if they just looked up at night, they find Jesus. They're led right to him. It's this inverted world that Matthew is creating, where these people of another place and another religion want to worship God. The Jewish king claims to want to worship him, but actually desires to do great violence to him. It's a topsy-turvy, upside-down story, the perfect beginning for a Messiah who would go on to show what it means that the first shall be last and the last first. And I think that's a perfect beginning for the new year this year as well, because life has been turned upside down over the past year. It was only 3 days ago that everybody said, oh, thank God 2020 is over. Thank God the Electoral College will vote soon and we'll be past this mess. Thank God we'll be able to worship together in person again in weeks. Thank God there is a vaccine and now everything can go back to normal. And that's the question on our minds. When can we go back to normal? Matthew won't let us go back to normal. Matthew won't let us go back to normal in this story because we don't find Jesus there. Jesus asks us to do things that aren't normal, things that aren't natural, like love people, love God, tell the truth, put others first. There's nothing natural or normal about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an intrusion into regular life. And Matthew starts his gospel off wanting us to know that. I think we like the settled predictability of life. Monday morning, coffee at 7, work by 8, lunch by 12, 15-minute break at 3, home by 6, take the surface streets if traffic is bad. You know, normal life. But normal doesn't help anybody in the Gospel of Matthew. You have to remember that the one person committed to maintaining normalcy, keeping things the way they are in this story, is Herod. Normal in the Gospel of Matthew is tax collectors gouging people, the temple robbing people, religious folk making sure everybody does things their way. Normal in Matthew looks like the occupying forces of Rome. Normal is people talking about their accomplishments, announcing it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by others. Normal is looking at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and paying no attention to the plank in your own. Normal is getting mad when people are healed and trying to kill the people who disagree with you. That's normal in the Gospel of Matthew. That's normal in our world. Why would anyone want to go back to normal? In the Magi, we see God's promise to save, working itself out in new and unexpected ways, a new normal. And from the beginning of Matthew's gospel, we are asked to look in other places and new ways to see how God is moving people towards himself. And I think there's the none too subtle suggestion that sometimes our desire to go back to normal is really a desire to go back to Egypt. Now, a lot of the desire, I think, is totally understandable after what we've experienced. Pardon me. A lot of the desire to go back to normal comes from fatigue. The ordinary task, going to the store, getting appointments, it's been difficult. We're still, people are really suffering from this disease. Businesses are closing. People are losing homes and can't find meals. And I do think the followers of Jesus ought to be in the midst of that, helping out where we can. Think about sharing meals and resources in the times of need. So I get the desire to get back to normal. I just think normal isn't all that great either. Our normal has a lot of problems. I don't know how many of you were perfectly happy and satisfied before March of 2020, but my normal was imperfect, let's say. Normal has a lot of problems. Deep racism, corporate profiteering, family dysfunctions. These were all problems before March 2020. And so my prayer has been, yes, I want the pandemic to end. I want people to regain their health and jobs and be able to get on living. I want less stress in the world. It's terrible, the things that are happening. But I won't pray that things get back to normal. Not after reading Matthew. Not after a gospel that starts by trying to open up new spaces to explore where God is at work. These magi warn us off trying to pursue a normal life. It may be that a normal life insulates us from the very ways God is trying to grab our attention. Herod is the one trying to keep things normal, trying to maintain the way things are. And so I wonder if in the new year we ought to look more intently at the stars, to look at new places where God is leading us. You know, stars, those experiences and histories and natural events that point to something bigger and mysterious in God. Signs in the sky. Maybe it's time to try something new, personally, corporately. Maybe it's time to listen to someone new. Even follow a pack of astrologers headed towards Bethlehem, towards something God is doing. In an article by the Washington Post, they told the story of Sarah Cook. Sarah Cook was, was a nurse. She was a nurse when she first sought treatment for a herniated disc, but the treatments didn't work and they didn't work correctly, and an infection set in. And it turned into meningitis, left her with unpredictable seizures. She was unable to drive or walk without a cane. Effectively homeless, this medical professional was unable to take care of herself. She stayed with family and friends and spent most of her time in doctors' rooms, hoping that they would treat her despite the thousands upon thousands of dollars of unpaid bills that were piling up. One day, about 2 years after she last drew a paycheck, she got a letter from an organization called RIP Medical Debt, saying that some significant portion of her bill had been forgiven. Gone. Vanished. Just like that. Forgiven. They didn't explain why. She was not sure that she had done anything to merit it, but the debt simply vanished. Now, the company that forgave this debt, RIP Medical Debt, is not a Christian organization, not faith-based at all. But they realized that the way debt works in the United States is these unpaid bills that go to collections are sold on a market to debt collectors. And people can buy these unpaid bills and track people down and try and get the money for them. These debts are sold to bill collectors for pennies on the dollar. And instead of collecting the debt and going after it, RIP Medical Debt decided that we can just buy this bad medical debt and forgive it. Tell people they're off the hook. Make it go away and vanish into the ether. They've started by buying the debt of people, as best they can tell, are unemployed and or have no way they could repay it. And so here is this non-Christian organization that in some sense looks very similar to the things Jesus said. They preach good news of a sort to the poor. They're setting captives free. They are forgiving people's debt without any reason. They don't even know these people. It sounds very Jesus-like. Since then, a number of churches have realized, aha, this is kind of gospel-y looking. We should check it out. And they've contacted RIP Medical Debt because it seems such a noble thing that they've wanted to join them and contribute it. And what the article notes is that there have been a number of problems for the churches that have tried to work with RIP Medical Debt, the first of which is that people have been worried that it's not a Christian organization. Some churches have expressed that they are concerned because they don't get to choose which procedures they are forgiving the debt over. Some churches have been concerned because they don't want their money going to forgive the debt of people of other religions. Some churches have expressed concern that they don't want the money to go to forgiving the debt of people of other political parties. And yet still, RIP Medical Debt soldiers on forgiving debt, for setting captives free. You can choose the geographical area that you want to work with. So a number of churches have said, well, we would like to make sure our name's on the letter so those people might come to church. Some churches, though, have chosen not to put their name on the forgiveness letter set out. They simply want people to be set free. There's a church in Annapolis, Maryland. It's a medium-sized church, about 200 people. They don't have a permanent building, but they were inspired by RIP Medical Debt. They heard the gospel in what they were doing. And so they decided to join and follow their lead. And over a period of time, they raised a total of $15,000 in their campaign to wipe out medical debt for people. People they don't know, people they haven't met, people they may never see or meet. And the $15,000 they raised forgave $2 million of medical debt for the families in the area, for people who will never know. That's not normal, but it is the gospel. We have these new kind of nascent national conversations about forgiving debts, forgiving student loans and rent and mortgages, about making reparations. And people are concerned because these are not normal ideas and not the normal way of doing things. But then that is the point. Matthew invites us to see the signs in the sky and follow the Magi into a strange world too, where God is waiting for us. I, for one, am glad that 2020 is over, but I don't want 2021 to be a normal year either. I want it to be a year, by the grace of God, full of signs in the sky, where we are led to new ways to love, new things to learn, new paths to follow after God. Please, Lord, no more of the same. And so a good place to start in 2021 is where Matthew is starting, in an upside-down, topsy-turvy world where God calls us out of normal. So that's our question for our discussion groups. How is God leading you out of normal? Is there a star, a sign you've seen from him, leading you somewhere new in this new year? I'll put the question in chat and give you a few minutes to talk about it. All right, the questions in chat, the rooms are open. We'll be back in a minute. We will close out. Gospel is a funny thing. It turns out, as you read Matthew and follow the stories of Jesus, that the people who are close to God aren't always as close as they seem, and the people who are far off are not always as far off as they seem. That's why one of the reasons we make space Yeah, is everybody looking at Long's picture staring back at him? Because that's just weird, dude. I am dying over here. Oh, sorry we interrupt this broadcast for a special message.
Wow. Wow. It was a joke. Sorry, it was a joke because we had a staff meeting. I put a picture of myself in college. She said, put a recent picture. So I put a picture of myself in college. And I've got to take it down. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
Okay.
Sorry.
Long, I thought it was like your scary teacher.
Change it next time, okay? So, wow.
You know, I'm trying to create a holy moment so that we can share in communion, and this face is just eyeballing me, lasers.
That was on my school account.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Long, thank you for leading us into what is not normal. Well, we each week share in communion together. We let God intrude into our lives at least a little bit and remember that we are people who have been called, who are following a star to worship at Jesus' feet. And so I would invite you, if you want to get your communion elements, that we can share in the body and blood of Christ together. And remember that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he told his disciples, this is my body broken for you. Eat. And so they ate. And he took the wine and he said, this is the blood of my covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink. And they drank. And so we do as well. Let me pray for us. God, we ask that 2021 would be a year where we see you, where you draw us to new places so that we can worship you. We ask that we would see you at work in the world around us, that we would follow what you're doing. God, we pray that 2021 would be anything but normal, but we pray that it would be good, that it would be full of your spirit, that we would be stretched, that we would see new things from you, that you would call us into new things. We pray that our lives would live up to the things that we confess about you, that you would hold us and carry us. And so from the beginning as a church, we offer 2021 to you, Lord. Say yes to the new things that you want to do in us and through us. Will you give us eyes to see? Will you put bright, shining signs in the sky for us? And lead us closer to you. That's our prayer. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
For more discussions of God's Word like these, go to www.epicchurch.net.